I didn't bother asking Craig Gabriel about Brian because, I'm not sure that he's big into the Australian music scene these days. He's such a global phenomenon, such a global Rolodex that the local one probably doesn't interest him these days. But he joins us to cover the French Open for us. Good morning, Craig.
Gentlemen, morning. Yeah, look, I Brian is a little bit before my time.
It's only 58, 59. I know you. Look, you're 25, possibly 30 these days. I'm not sure, but he's one of the greats of Australian music and entertainment. Is Brian Mannix. So happy birthday to him. Now tell me, what's been happening overnight at Roland Garros?
Oh, it has been a full-on day, and it's still going. Look, we've had some amazing things happen over here today. There was a match that was put off from yesterday on today with two of the women, and that was to get into the quarterfinals. So Danielle Collins, who was a semi-finalist at the Australian Open a couple of years ago, she defeated Ons Jabeur, the 30th seed, 6-4, 6-4, 4-6, 6-4. But then the interesting one, Nadia Podoroska, she has stunned everybody with this run that she's had at the French Open, and she's upset the third seed, Elena Svitolina, probably the biggest upset of the tournament.
Wow.
When you consider that Podoroska, I don't know why I said ski before, but Podoroska was ranked 131. She was one down from her career high of 130, and here she is beating the third seed, the world number five, Svitolina, 6-2, 6-4. And
wow.
It's the first time, yeah, absolutely, she played amazingly well. The first time at the French Open in the history of the tournament that a player has reached the semi-finals from the qualifying round. She had to come through the qualifying. She's won 8 matches to this stage. Now, if you consider that you need to win 7 matches to win a major, she's gone 1 more than that.
yeah.
So it is pretty amazing. But the match of the day, and probably, if not the match, one of the matches of the tournament, Diego Schwartzman has come back to beat Dominic Thiem. 7-6, 5-7, 6-7, 7-6, 6-2, just over 5 hours of the most gripping and incredible tennis. I've been describing it as a bruising battle that they had on court. They were both standing and playing as well at the end as they did at the beginning of the tournament.
It was always going to be. I want to get back to the women shortly because I think there's an amazing story developing there. But just on that match you're talking about, it was always going to have the potential to be a bit of a brutal affair because of the nature of the way both of them play. But, I mean, we would have thought that Thiem would have got through considering the fact that he won the US Open and he's got to the last two French Open finals. Did it all sort of catch up with Dominic, the amount of tennis he's played lately, or are we not giving enough credit for what Schwartzman's been able to do to have this breakthrough?
You have to give 100% credit to both guys. It wasn't as if one faded and the other one picked, you know, was on the ball or anything like that. Sure, Dominic said afterwards that, he was pretty much saying he was running on the smell of an oily rag, but you would never really have known it. He was playing so amazingly well right through the end of the match. But credit to Schwartzman. I mean, he was remarkable. They were both remarkable. I mean, I think probably Thiem confessed that if he was to win, he needed to win it in 4 sets. He was 2 points away from the match. And I'm just trying to think, did he have a match point? I don't know. I can't remember if he did, because there was so much happening in this encounter with such gripping tennis from both of them. Either of them, you know, it's a shame they both couldn't have won. But it was such incredible sportsmanship from Thiem at the end. I mean, he was smiling. He was so happy for Diego because they're really good friends, the two of them. And he said, I'm so happy for him. I'm disappointed, very disappointed. But I'm so happy for him because he's never reached the semis of a major before, and he's also going to be in the top 10 for the first time. So he was full of praise for his friend, Schwartzman from Argentina. So it was a wonderfully staged match, incredible sportsmanship, played in such a wonderful spirit. So it was, I mean, for all those clowns who are detractors of five-setters, take a look at this match.
Well, we love a bit of five-set action, particularly the majors. It's good fun. It's theatre, and which we all love in the world of sport, Craig. How many times would we have seen Argentinians in the semis of the men's and the women's?
Oh, look, let's not forget Guillermo Vilas. Paula Suarez was the last Argentine woman to reach the semis at the French, and in 2004, Gabby Sabatini, semi-finalist. There hasn't been an Argentine woman reach the final, certainly in the Open era. So, but yeah, let's not forget the likes of Juan Ignacio Chela, who's been around. Obviously,
but at the same time, the same tournament.
Pardon?
At the same tournament wouldn't happen too often, would it?
Oh no! At the same time, no, no, probably not. No, I think because Gabby was after Vilas. I'm trying to think who might have also been around. Oh, now Bandian may have been around. I can't remember what his best result was at the French, but not too often that a man and a woman in the semis. I see what you're getting at now.
That's good. That's good. So what's on?
Yeah. And
Sorry,
I was just going to say, just quickly, because I know we're about to go to Scotty Henn, but just from a women's perspective, I must confess, and I love my tennis, I've never heard of Podoroska, and she's into a semi-final of a Grand Slam, and she's going to play the winner of two girls that I've never heard of either.
Yeah,
so it's quite remarkable in a Grand Slam that this is going to happen.
Yeah, the women's draw has certainly been decimated, but the fact is, these are still stories. Podoroska admitted that she almost gave it away a couple of years ago because she was running out of money. She had some wrist injuries and all that. But she also said that she's now working or based herself out of Alicante. I asked her coach, has she had any contact with Alex Dimonor? Because Alex is based in Alicante. And they have. They're working out of they're training and playing out of the same club in Alicante. So there's the slight Australian connection there. I know clutching at straws, but still, as far as the other women are concerned, Martina Trevisan, she was out of the game for a while. She went through a bout of anorexia, and she's worked her way back in. She's absolutely ecstatic, obviously. Iga Swiatek was the world number one junior. She had a couple of injuries. But she's made this move now, and you know she's a name to really look out for. She's in about the 50s in her ranking, so it's all very interesting. I mean, yeah, you want to see the big names like Simona. It's a shame Ash wasn't there, Serena, all those sort of people. But let's also consider these ones trying to make a breakthrough, and it is interesting. It really is. I mean, Podoroska is going to move into the top 50 to this stage of the tournament from 131.
Yeah, right. Wow. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that fantastic? And, of course, the great news across the weekend with the way the cards fell, Craig, before we let you go, is that Ash is going to finish the year at number one.
Yeah, Ash will finish the year number one. Yes, because Simona Halep lost. She had to win the title to take back number one. But as that's not happening, Ash stays number one.
Brilliant stuff. I look forward to finding out how it all unfolds from here as we get the semi-final action in the French Open. Thank you, Craig.
Okay, see ya.
Craig Gabriel covering the French Open there. Argentinians everywhere.